Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I don't know what to make of what happened last night. That's why I'm going to lean on you. As a matter of fact, I'll lean on Harper, and I guess we'll try and figure it out, because whatever I was expecting, I got a little of what I expected, and then I got some more stuff that made me go, ay. Here we go again. Welcome to it. It is live on a Saturday morning, 10 a.m. John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios. Today, manning the ship is Garrett Chapman. He is, of course, TV star Garrett Chapman of worldwide fame on College Football Game Time. Garrett, what is up?
Hey, man, life is good. It's a beautiful, gorgeous Saturday here in Midtown. And look, the sky is out. The sun is shining. We're having a great day.
Yeah. I mean, I love Garrett's spin on this. I don't know if it's a great day. I don't know if it's a great day. I was just talking to Sam and Noel. What is it? Does God have something against us? I mean, really? We can't play a game in anything without, like, multiple guys being, like, ending their careers? Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, oh, my God. You know, I want to sit here and talk about the Falcons today, and Harper LaBelle is going to jump into the program in about 17 minutes from now. And we will. We'll talk about the good and the bad of what we saw last night. We know the bad. I mean, I was throwing things at the TV when Braylon Trice was knocked. I went, okay, that's it. I'm done. No more preseason. Just get rid of damn preseason. I know it's not any better. Look, it's not any better than when, you know, you get injured in the regular season, not any better. I understand that. Look at the Braves. But at the same time, when it's a meaningless game, and the NFL doesn't need preseason. Well, John, you know, I mean, well, the NBA doesn't need preseason either, okay? Well, you know, play an inter-squad game or something. You don't need preseason. Play a practice, play an inter-squad game, have a combined practice. I know that's when Rondale got hurt. But you don't need three preseason games. You just don't. They do it for money, right? I mean, this was the whole thing. It used to be. You know that it used to be that, and this is as early as if you're in kind of my age group, if you're in your 50s or 60s, you remember this. In the late 70s, even towards 1980, they played 14 regular season games in the NFL. 14, okay? They played 6 preseason games. And if you played the Hall of Fame game, you played 7 preseason games. Now stop and think about that for a second. We got 7 preseason games. 7 games that don't count. And finally, somebody, it was like the late 1970s, somebody said, yeah, why are we doing this? Why don't we play games that actually count? Okay, well, maybe we'll go to 16 and just 4 preseason games. Okay, thank you. And then they said, Do we really need four preseason games? No, let's go to 17-3. Okay, which is where we're at now. Now they're going to go, okay, we're going to go to 18-2, which is where they're headed. And I'll have two preseason games and 18 regular season games. But at the same time, why do you even need two preseason? You know why you need two preseason? Money. Oh, we can charge fans for a home preseason game and charge them regular season prices to go watch the, you know, third and fourth stringers play football. Oh, God. All right. But the problem in the NFL, it's not like college where there is no preseason, right? It's not like college because you don't have 110 guys on the team. And so, because if they did, you would be having you'd have a preseason game where nobody on the field was even going to be considered to make the two deep. I mean, nobody. As a result, you could play as deep as you want into the current roster, but you got to play some of the guys that are going to make the two deep. And that's what's happened to the Falcons here. Right? That's what happened. You had Helms and you had Trice, guys that are potentially starters, and certainly on the two deep, they have to play because they don't have enough bodies. So if they want to play these preseason games, maybe they should at least expand the roster by, I don't know, 20 players a team. And why would we expand the roster by 20 players a team? Then nobody out there would be, like, actually in danger of making the team, and fans would see guys that are going to be cut and crummy football. Oh, you mean like now? Oh, okay. They would have to admit, if they did that, they'd have to admit that it's a ripoff and a joke. Yes, it is a ripoff and a joke. Ay, ay, ay. I have my fingers crossed on Helms and Trice. Rondale's out. I know they were saying in the wrong Rondale's out, and boy, Penix has really developed something with Rondale. You know, they were, these two were like, they're on the same page. They had a, like, comfort level and all that. And I'm going, okay, please God, then Rondale, get back next year. But Penix, I hope I don't see you play the rest. I just don't want to see you play in the regular season. I need players to stay healthy because the NFL is a war of attrition. And if you don't stay healthy, you don't win. And I know it's a long, long season. I get that. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. And now Terry Fontenot is going to be challenged. See, the problem for Terry Fontenot, I saw immediately when Rondale went down in that Miami, workout, fans were like, hey, Juju Smith-Schuster's available. I'm like, yeah, he is. Let's go get Juju. And I'm looking down here going, well, Falcons have the least amount of cap space of anybody in the NFL. $3.4 million, least amount of cap space of anybody in the NFL. And, yeah, you could maybe get another million or so, if you cut Taylor Heinicke. Oh, man. Was that first play from Taylor Heinicke, I give up, like, please cut me? was that what that was last night? I give up, please cut me. Yeah, it was a false start. I didn't bother to take the snap. Oh, they recovered, you didn't call it? Whatever. Oh, man, that was, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at Taylor. I'm just laughing at the situation. It was like, yeah, I don't give a damn. What do I care? I just saw Michael Penix playing again. Okay, I'm not seeing the field. I'm not even going to be on the team on Monday. What do I care? I'm not even going to bother to jump on that live ball. I'm just going to pretend that there was a false start that you should have seen, which there was, but they didn't. Oh, God. So anyway, enough of that. Penix last night, of course, 9 of 16, 104 yards, made a couple of nice throws. He did sail a few passes. He does have a tendency to do that. It's something they got to kind of work out of his game a little bit. Partly is because his arm is so strong. He did this at Indiana. He did it at Washington. He's got such a strong arm that the touch, working on his touch. Now, he actually does have touch when he puts touch on the ball, but when he's throwing it across the field, you can't really throw so much with touch. So he's got to fire it across the field, and that ball just doesn't want to go down. It's going at such a rate. It's zzz. So, but these are the things that he worked on with Michael Penix. But you saw last night, right? You saw it last night, correct? Everybody saw it last night, why they took him at number 8. Because I tell you, the thing that impressed me the most is he's working with the backups, right? So he's working with the backup offensive line against their backup defensive line. But he stands in the pocket. He got rid of the ball quickly. He was able to do a check down. He was able to go through his progressions. I mean, all the stuff, he can make all the throws. He never panicked in the pocket. I mean, he looked like an NFL quarterback last night who had been playing for a while. I know he's a little bit on the older side as rookies go, so you know, he had 5 years in college. But he was very comfortable out there and looked like he had it going. So, yeah, I think all things good with Michael Penix. I'll be interested in having your opinion of what you saw in Michael Penix. I'm going to get Garrett Chapman's opinion right now. Garrett, what was your opinion of your first glance as a professional of Michael Penix Jr.?
Well, he looked like the guy we saw in college. You know, really talented. Big arm. I mean, he's a good football player. You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm like, the guy hit some, he made some smart throws. He was on schedule. He kept the team, you know, playing good football. And that's like the number one thing for a rookie. The rookies just need to keep the team on schedule and don't miss any throws. Don't make a big mistake. I mean, and we never saw that big mistake happen. And of course, it's a preseason football game. You can only really take so much. But ultimately, I think he looked pretty good, and he's a good player. And I'm glad we took him.
I'm really happy for Kevin King. I mean, hadn't played in the NFL for 3 years. Hopefully, he's got his guy, you know, life all back together. Comes back in his first game, and bam, pick and a return. So that was really good to see. Somebody just mentioned to me on my Twitter, @JohnFrick, you got a DM here. No, not from a friend of mine. Hey, why haven't you mentioned the Braves yet? Do you want me to mention the Braves? Is that what we want to talk about? We want to talk about the Braves. You can at 404-726-0929. I leave. They collapse. It's over. What do you want me to say? It's kind of done. Lost six in a row. They can't even beat the Rockies. The Rockies blow. They're terrible. Like today, you got Max Fried against Dakota Hudson. Doesn't Dakota Hudson sound like, you know, a second-rate actor? Dakota Hudson is 2-12. That's his record, 2-12. He's got an ERA like at 6, and I'm sure he's going to shut the Braves down. Man. Yeah, it was good to see Soler hit a home run. I know Ozuna's doing Ozuna things, but unfortunately Olsen's doing Olsen things. Hey, man. To say that if they come back and make the playoffs and do anything in the playoffs, I will be happy. But I will be shocked. I'm not a white flagger yet. Okay, I'm not waving the white flag yet. But it's Falcons season. Anyway, hey, Falcons are playing. Let's talk about, I'm checking out till they check in. How about that? It's like, I didn't miss nothing. Where I was up in, air quotes, Canada, I mean, I didn't have, limited internet, things of that nature. So I'm trying to, I can't watch on my phone, so I have to, just update the ESPN, box score here. And every time I looked around, they were getting their butts kicked, and I went, it's 10-0, it's 7-0, it's 16-2, whatever the hell it was. It was like, oh, my God, what a meltdown. Olympics today, we have the breaking finals. I know everybody's excited about that. By the way, it's so bad. If you haven't seen it, you got to go to, Google. It's so bad. It's so awful that they just got to get rid of it. Okay? It's disgustingly bad. The marathon, it's hilarious at the same time, though. The marathon is today. You got the U.S. women's soccer team playing Brazil in the gold medal game. USA men's basketball against Wemby in France. What's on France? Like, Gobert's on France, right? And Wemby? Is that it? Is that the only guys they got? I mean, we should win this game easily, correct?
Right? I'm taking a look at
this. I know Wemby's a player.
Nicolas Batum's there. He's kind of a has-been. Yeah. Rudy Gobert's there. Evan Fournier is out there. Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, it's a good basketball team. Yeah. It's okay. It's good. And it's the home country. I mean, how home countries always get that little bit of a boost? That's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, the judges screw everybody else? Yeah,
it was kind of a wink-wink, nod-nod kind of.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, it's going to be 5-8. It's going to be 5-8 today.
Yeah, well, exactly. It was that meaning the other eight is the officials. I said I was going to buy a ticket. I was talking to Sam and to Noel, and I said, if you watch this, was there an event that you would? I'm not talking about like basketball or gymnastics or swimming or track. That you said a lesser event. To be that kind of guy. That you would actually, now that you see it, you would want to buy a ticket to see it in person at the Olympics. And I thought, ping pong, because some of the rallies in ping pong are just like insane. You know, Abe would say something else. He'd say something like the women's heptathlon because he's up at 2 a.m. every day.
Oh, he's watching, got the underwater the basket nonstop. Weaving.
Right. Now, so he would talk about women's heptathlon. Well, at least I think it's women. I guess it's women. It's Paris. Who knows? And then you got, you know, you mentioned the team handball, right? You know, like indoor soccer and basketball had an affair. That's team handball. By the way, is there individual handball? I'm just asking. I mean, there's team handball. Why isn't it just... Okay. Arbor LaBelle watched the game last night. What did a former Falcon and co-host of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show think about what he saw from the Atlanta Falcons? That's next. John Fricke live from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Radio on the weekends.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Atlanta Falcons took the field in the first game of the Raheem regime in a practice game against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins backups beat up on the Falcons backups 20-13 in a score that you will never remember 2 weeks from now, let alone 2 years from now. In a pointless preseason game, they cost the Atlanta Falcons a couple of players, and the takeaway is the Falcons lost the game. No, not 20-13. No, that wasn't the loss, no. Welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on this Saturday morning as we break down. Thought we'd ask the expert to come in, give us his thoughts on a number of things of what he saw last night. So I reached out to my buddy and my co-host on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Harper LaBelle, and he has agreed to join us here and give us his insider thoughts here. Morning to you, Harper. What up?
Hey, John. Well, the field looked fantastic at the beginning of the game, but how about at the end of it? It looked like a bad golf match, like you and I were out there trying to, hit the ball straight, and we couldn't. And the result was there were several players on both sides that had knee and ankle injuries. Did you notice all the guys that were down?
Yeah, this was a bad situation, exacerbated by the field. I didn't know. Are they blaming the field, or was it just bad luck?
Well, the guys kept talking about how slippery it was out there, so I don't know. I don't know if it had rained earlier in the day or the week, but, the trip
it's
itself.
Miami. It rains every day.
Yeah. I mean, you lose Darnell Mooney, and then DeMarco Helms and Trice, that's a bad trip. The whole trip there, the takeaway for me was I don't know if it was worth it to go down there and do what we did. You know, but you were right a little bit earlier, John, that our second group is pretty good compared to their second group, but our third group isn't as good as their third group. So, notch a win for the Miami Dolphins.
Harper, let's begin with your impression and your first look as a professional player of Michael Penix.
Very impressed. I was when he was at Washington and they played Texas in the semifinal. I had told you earlier in the fall, I said, watch that Jaden Daniels. I said, if we can move up and pick that kid, he's something else, because I had seen him in person. I watched the way he warmed up. I watched what he did in between plays when there were timeouts. And I said, that's a very impressive young man. And I had the same impression when I saw Michael. What I saw last night reminded me a lot of what I saw against Texas, in that he gets the ball out early. He wasn't perfect in terms of his accuracy, but he got the ball to who he needed to. I think he read the field well. So overall, my first impression of him, 9-16 for 104 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. It's okay. You know, it wasn't he didn't win the gold medal. But he didn't lose at the end either. A couple of our other quarterbacks didn't play as well, and we can talk about that later. But I was impressed with Michael.
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, I mean, Taylor Heinicke on the first snap with the you know, false start fumble. He didn't even fall on the ball. He just tried to make a call that wasn't called. I mean, that play was like, okay, I give up. I just let me go, please. I mean, literally, I don't blame him, by the way. Just let me go. I don't need to be here. I'm not going to be. Let me go.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, release me, please release
yes.
me.
Yes.
Here, that didn't bother me as much. I understood what he was trying to do. He saw that the offensive line had jumped off count. The center was late getting the ball up. It should have been a procedure penalty. It wasn't called. Shame on everybody for quitting early on that play. But here's what I didn't like about Taylor and what he did. We had 3rd and 8. And he doesn't even look down the field. He just does a little dump off when we gain 3 yards and we have to punt. That to me was more of an issue of, gosh, we've seen this for the last 2 years. It doesn't matter who's behind center. So I wasn't impressed with that. Although I don't know, John, and I guess you probably don't either. I don't know what the plays were that were being called. Do we have a 3rd and 8 play that we're saving for Pittsburgh in the regular season? You bet. But did Zach Robinson come even close to calling those? I'm not blaming him. He told us last week, Zach Robinson did. From the very first interview that he's done, I'm not showing anything this preseason that is going to give Pittsburgh one single play to study what we're going to run against them. So a little bit of a handicap, so I give him a little bit of credit. Taylor, you know, the plays that were called, he just tried to do the best he could with it, but we did not look good in the 3rd and 4th quarter.
Harper LaBelle, Wade Ford Tailgate Show co-host, former Falcon, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. His reaction to the Falcons game. Just a couple of things that I want to house cleaning things from last night. Harper, I don't know if you saw the Hall of Fame game, so this wasn't the first time I've seen the new kickoff rule, but that new kickoff rule is going to take some time to adjust. And somebody made the point, you know, that one of the returners, I'm probably not even going to make the team, I don't even know who it was, you know, for the Falcons, caught a kickoff in the end zone, brought it out to the 20, and they go, well, he should have just taken a knee, because if the ball goes into the end zone, it comes out to the 30. And I thought, yeah, I guess so, but when you're trying to make a team, taking a knee in the end zone is not going to get you. Now you got to try and make a play. So
exactly.
I don't blame you
yeah.
for that.
Right.
I mean, so, but I mean, what did you think generally of how this kick? Do you think it's gonna, be really something helpful to the NFL?
Well, I looked at it from the standpoint of, how am I going to coach this? Am I going to put big guys that only have a short amount of distance to catch up to somebody? In other words, there's a 5-yard distance, and I'm talking about kickoff return. That's what you were mentioning. So, do I go with defensive ends, linebackers? Do I give tight ends and bigger guys so that if they just hold on, their guy doesn't make the tackle, and a fast, quick return man can get past them to get it past the 30, the 40? Are we going to see more touchdowns because of this? You know, we had one more deep return, 5-6 yards in the end zone, and he slips at the 20. Okay, I get it. It's preseason, but doing it full speed, I really don't know what to make yet. We don't have a sample size big enough. I hope it makes it a little more exciting that you have more balls returned past the 25 and the 30. But I agree with you also from a strategy standpoint. If you're going to kick in the end zone, I'll take first and 10 at the 30. That I can do something with that. That's a good return.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they handle it throughout the year and whether or not the statistics show, and well, of course we'll see it, are there going to be more big returns, are there less injuries, things of that nature with this? Because it's odd, I got to tell you, it's strange. We'll see how this thing kind of works. I mean, they keep futzing with it, and nothing seems to be something that really clicks with them. I want to go back to the injuries here, because let's talk about this. Because I went on a little rant earlier in the show here. I am done with preseason. I'm done with it. I am done with preseason. I think they need to get rid of it. This is not worth it. If you get injured in a regular season game, so be it. When you're getting injured now, granted, Rondale Moore was in practice. But when you lose DeMarco Helms and Braylon Trice, we haven't gotten the word yet on either of them, but it doesn't look good, okay? And now Terry Fontenot is going to have to make a big decision here. So a couple of things here. One is they've cut preseason from 6 games to 4 games to 3 games. They're going to cut it to 2. Should we just get rid of preseason?
You've got to get guys ready in one way, shape, or form and to hit different colored uniforms. So I don't know how you do that unless you go down to Miami and spend a week there like the Falcons did and then sit all of your players, your starters, your first and second group. That to me doesn't make sense. But guess what, John? I mean, we played Baltimore next week. They lost their number one pick, Nate Wiggins, the DB that they got in the first round. He goes down with a shoulder injury. So we're not alone in what's going on.
No, I'm not saying we are. That's why. I mean, but you say you got to hit guys with other – Florida State and George Tech aren't going to do that. They're going to play football 2 weeks from today, right?
Yeah.
Game that counts.
Yeah. That's where scrimmages in the college game are critical.
Scrimmages in the NFL can become more critical. I mean, why are we doing this except for money? Why are they risking – because it's a joke anyway because, you're not playing your stars, So, I mean – It wasn't that long ago when, like, a guy like LaDainian Thompson, 20 years ago, LaDainian Thompson stood up and said, I'm not going to play in the preseason. Everybody went, what?
How dare you?
I'm not.
How dare you say
right.
that, LaDainian? You're not with the team. I'm not going to get hurt because those games don't count.
Right.
They never have and they never will. The biggest issue, I think you just hit the nail on the head, John. The biggest issue is the money. But you saw at the beginning of the ball game and then at the end, there's nobody there anyways. A lot of people would rather give their tickets away if they have a package for the preseason games because they're not going to see their favorite player. I got chewed out one time by a buddy of mine, chewed me out because Michael Vick didn't play in a preseason game and he had bought tickets for some friends and they went and didn't see him. So he yelled at me as if I had something to do with the depth chart that day. But it was a preseason game that didn't matter. You're not going to risk Michael and Russell Wilson is recovering from a calf injury, so he didn't play last night for Pittsburgh. We got to see Josh Fields a little bit, and we can talk about that if you want to. But, all around the league, it's how do we get our guys as ready as they need to be in games that don't count in a different world? You know that in a couple of years, there'll be an 18th game. So those are the things that have to be considered. But the biggest one is who do I play and who sits? I got to see who's going to make this roster, but I'm really not worried about anything other than keeping my starters and my first tier guys off the field for the first preseason game or maybe the second.
Or maybe all of them and whatever. I mean, right, I get you. So now Terry Fontenot is going to have, he has the lowest amount of cap space, Harper, in the NFL. And he's going to have to try and make, because somebody said, Juju Smith-Schuster's out there. I'm like, yeah, how are you going to get that done? He's going to have to get another wide receiver to replace Rondale Moore, but that's not exactly Juju's job. You got Ray McLeod there. He's got to find another little kind of scat back. He's probably going to have to add a defensive back now, which is where his focus on his money ought to go to. If Helms is out for the season, I think you've got to try and find a safety. And there are veterans out there. You got to cut Taylor Heinicke, rework a contract or two, get some money, and bring a veteran safety in. I think you have no choice but to do that.
Right, and I agree with you there in the fact that you said we've got to redo a contract or two, and it may be more than that. You used to do that with Julio every year, and it was not cap-friendly, and now you may want to do something with one of your higher-paid guys, and there's a few guys that are making more than $15 million a year. And if they can work things around and open up some cap space, at least for this season, I hate being in cap hell. We've been in it the last couple of years, but I agree with you right now. I'm not pushing the panic button yet, but it's getting close. And we don't know what other teams that are in similar situations with a tight end or a defensive end or you know, other positions, how they're going to handle it. Guys are going to get cut. So in the next couple of weeks, you are going to see a few of the higher-priced guys that are let go because they're going to go with a younger, cheaper player. So we may be able to skim off the top in that respect. But we are in a little bit of an issue where we don't have as much money as everybody else does.
Right, and so he's going to have to do some magic here in the next week or two here, because you'd like to at least get him, you know, into camp, you know, before the season begins, and kind of get him up to speed in practice. But yeah, they've got to do something. They desperately need help in the secondary. If Helms is down, Trice is somebody I was really kind of counting on, and is same with Rondale. You could say, well, you know, they weren't the big stars of the team. No, but these three guys, weren't, you know, they weren't third stringers. Okay. They were guys I was counting on, all three of them, to have big years. And so this is, a you know, very troubling and very problematic. So much so that, you know, I think that with like a guy like Penix now, if you're going to cut Taylor Heinicke, I'm going to argue that you could put Penix out there against Baltimore for a couple of series. You put him on, and he's done. I'm not playing him against I'm playing him for two series against Baltimore, and he is done. Not the rest of the Baltimore game. He's not playing in the Jacksonville game at all. I'll play. I don't care who our fifth-string quarterback is. I am not about to put Michael Penix out there and risk that. I'm just not. This preseason's got to go.
Yeah, he did get hit on one play that I noticed. My reaction was, oh, and don't touch him. Don't get near him. Please, to stay away from him, because it's so fragile. And other teams obviously feel the same way. So I know there's that philosophy. Why did we have – I had five preseason games a couple of times when I was playing, and there was a fun part of it to going to some of them. Remember they had the game in London. I got to play in one in Toronto. When I was here in Atlanta, we played one down in Jacksonville before they had a team. We played the Rams, oddly, a division game in the preseason, because they were trying to expand. I played in one in St. Louis when the after the Cardinals had left. So there was a joy kind of in the league was trying to expand and grow itself and add more teams. Remember, at one point we had 26 teams and 28, then we had 30, 31. Now we've got 32. So the expansion is all done. Now it's just a matter of, from the business perspective, how can the league still continue to make money, but at the risk of players and injuries and games that don't matter? That's a question that Roger Goodell needs to be asking some of his executives.
Harper, as always, I look forward to talking to you throughout the preseason and getting to wait for it in just a couple of weeks. It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We'll be on next week for the Baltimore game. We'll be bright and early. You know, we got an 8 o'clock start showtime. But and the Ravens didn't look good. They only had 82 yards passing. They ran for 82, so they've got some
Nobody
issues
cares.
There, especially on their depth chart.
Right, did Lamar play? Did Lamar play? Okay.
Of course not. Of course he didn't. We got Josh Johnson.
So they, it doesn't matter. Thanks, Harper. Do appreciate it. All right, quick break here. I got to get to it. I know we went a little long there, but I wanted to get his inside thoughts here. Harper LaBelle joining us here. Your thoughts, 404. All right, 7260929. What did you make of Michael Penix? What are your thoughts about what you saw last night from the Atlanta Falcons? Let's talk about it, you and I, on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
These preseason games are tough. You know, we talk about them every year. This is the reason why you try to play as least amount of people as you can. You know, obviously, DeMarco being a second-year player, you want to give him a little bit of action. He gets hurt really early. And then obviously having Trice as a rookie, you want to give him some action as an NFL professional player. And those things come back to bite you at times. It almost makes you not want to, but you know the cost of doing business. You got to make those decisions, and those are heavy on you.
Yeah, they're heavy on you because I think we're all bracing for really bad news. We certainly got bad news on Rondale Moore. I mean, we're talking Rondale Moore and DeMarco Helms and Braylon Trice, three guys that I was counting on this year to be impact guys for the Atlanta Falcons, and man, you know, so I threw my hands up When Trice went down, that's it. I'm done. I did this preseason. First off, let's all welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you live on this Saturday morning, 404-726-0929. Can we all agree that while it was fun to watch Michael Penix throw a football a couple of times, man, is preseason football boring as hell. God bless America, it's dull. You know, I mean, it's just base versus base with backups. I mean, it's like, oh, yikes. And so it's no bueno. And I think it's got to go. I mean, the colleges don't play preseason. The only reason the NFL does is because they want to charge ticket prices, regular season ticket prices for a home game. You know, just go to 18 games in the regular season, and I don't know, don't worry about the preseason games. You know, just have combined practices or something, or just scrimmage. College football gets along just fine without preseason games. Oh, but, you know, the NFL, you know, they got to make decisions as if colleges don't. Well, they got new players as if colleges don't with the portal and with, you know, recruiting. Oh, no, they've got it scoped. I mean, the whole thing just makes me, I mean, it literally made me angry last night. And so, I don't want to be getting into preseason. I was so looking forward to the Falcons and being able to see the team. I'm excited, and I remain excited about the year because, you know, obviously we got a good team. But then it turned out to be this whole week in Miami was a disaster for the team. So, I don't know, get home. I'm of the opinion you play. I've seen enough of Michael Penix to say, okay, cut Taylor Heinicke. If you feel like you need to play Penix, a couple of series against Baltimore coming up this weekend, a week from today, go ahead, play him. You know, it's an early game, you know, on the road in Baltimore. Play him a couple of series, and then he's done. Park him. He didn't need to play the rest of the game against Baltimore. He didn't need to play against Jacksonville at all. I know he wants to get reps, but I don't want to risk this at all. This is totally pointless, all right? It really is pointless. Coaches have to make evaluations. Again, college coaches can make evaluations on high school players. Professional coaches ought to be able to make evaluations on college players. I'm just saying. It is just pointless. I mean, it's almost NBA the NBA preseason is pointless, correct? I mean, the only preseason that's not pointless is baseball, only because baseball and spring training is kind of fun. So it's not really pointless. And in theory, not necessarily the Braves this year, but injuries are less an issue in baseball than they are in football. In theory, I mean, but you know, you could look at the Braves this year. So, but with this contact sport, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I'm out. There's no reason to have this anymore. Joe Namath's career ended in a preseason game. Why? Why? You know, I mean, back in those days, the starters would play. And his career ended, you know. And so it's like, why? It makes no sense to me. I understand you got to hit, you got to get ready. You could do that in scrimmages, you know, control it a little bit, green jersey your quarterback. I mean, I understand all these things. These guys are professionals. They, you know, Kirk Cousins is not going to play. You throw him out there, you know, if you had to in a scrimmage with a green jersey on. He knows what it's like to get hit. Dude got injured. He knows what that feels like, okay? So it's not like he has to be reminded in the preseason or in practice of what it's like to get hit. He knows, okay? 404-726-0929. Love to hear from you and be part of the program today. If you want to jump in here, we've got a lot of NFL to discuss. If you want to talk about the Braves, you're welcome to talk about the Braves, who have lost six straight games. Wah, wah, wah. Here we go. Today, Max Fried against some guy named Dakota Hudson. Dakota Hudson is 2-12. He's got an ERA like near six. He pitches for the Rockies, which means he is going to shut the Braves down. Because that's who we are. So if you've got any ideas here, jump in with the Braves. Go ahead. Because I got none. Okay, I really don't. Olympics today, men play in France for the basketball title, women's soccer play in Brazil. You want to jump in on that, you can, and tell me what you think about this is going on here. But I look at the NFL today. Last night, the Falcons, you know, they lost, as if that matters, to the Dolphins. The Texans beat the Steelers, the sort of Texans beat the sort of Steelers, 20-12. In that game, Justin Fields fumbled a couple of times, and there are people in Pittsburgh that are grumbling about, you know, ball protection with Justin Fields, and even in a preseason game. Eagles beat the Ravens in Baltimore 16-13. You may have heard Harper LaBelle say, look, the Ravens lost their number one pick to a shoulder injury. Again, this goes back to the whole preseason thing. Do you even want to play these guys? Well, we got to get them ready. Again, if you get a five-star player in, okay, Georgia has five-star players, right? They got a lot of right? Am I right? Okay. They got a lot of five-star players, fresh, a couple of whom might earn starting positions. Wait, how can they do that? How can they play against Clemson? They haven't had a preseason game yet. So why do you have to play your number one? Why is the we have to play the number one pick in the NFL draft, or we got to get him ready. Why? Well, he's not ready. So what? Put him out there. Yeah, but if he doesn't, no, just go. He'll get ready in practice, and he'll learn through the season. Don't worry about it, okay? What do you really get out of it? I want to know what a guy like Braylon Trice really got out of last night. I mean, the only thing you get if you're a rook, like Zion Luke, right, the Georgia guy, I saw him in there quite a bit last night, and he was eating up space and stuff like that. Okay, he gets something out of it because he'll probably make the practice squad, and he gets a chance to play in a game and run around a little bit and hit some people, and that's kind of a good thing. But he's a practice squad guy, so he actually gets something out of it a little bit. I mean, Braylon Trice really get anything out of it? You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Bunch of games today. Commanders at the Jets at noon. Bears at the Bills at 1. Notable because I think we'll see Caleb Williams. Again, this is another thing here. Would you start Caleb Williams if you're the Bears? Would you play him at all in preseason? This is why I'm shutting down Michael Penix. It wouldn't bother me, by the way, if they shut down Michael Penix right now and said he's not even going to play in the next two games. I'd be okay with that. I would absolutely be okay with that. So I don't know if Caleb Williams, if he's going to get a few snaps. Boy, I think teams are starting to get really hesitant in putting players out there. I really do. Raiders at the Vikings. Packers are at the Browns. Bucks are at the Bengals. Niners at the Titans. Seahawks at the Chargers. Saints at the Cardinals. All right, it is if it really matters. I've just totally given up on preseason football. I think they need the whole point of this is, what is it? It's for owners to sell tickets at ridiculous prices, right? And to get TV money in from, like, the NFL Network and all your providers. And to give them NFL Network content. I mean, that's what it's about. And so, as a result, I've gotten to a point where I think that the NFL needs to have a long, hard look. They're going to have to open up the CBA here, right? To go to 18-game regular season, they're going to have to open up the CBA. And they're going to have to redo the television contracts. They want to go from 17-3 to 18-2. You may have heard this. I'm in favor of an 18-game regular season, but if I am the players, I am going to ask for a whole bunch of stuff. Not just more money, which, of course, they're going to ask for, but I want to expand the rosters, okay? I want to expand the, you know, preseason, you know, from 90. I want it to be 90 all the way through preseason. No cuts. 90 all the way through preseason. That affords teams to be able to play players 45 through 90 in a game and not their first 45 if they don't want to play them. You're going to say, but then it's going to be crappy football with a bunch of guys that aren't going to make the team. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's exactly right. Well, why would we wouldn't want to watch that? Well, you want to watch this? You want to watch guys going down? What? What are you looking at here? So I would say I want no cuts in preseason. I want it to stay at 90 the whole way. That way, these other guys who otherwise would get cut are going to get two more weeks of checks, which is good for them, and we're going to be able to have teams protect their frontline guys and still field enough players to play a game. A pointless, stupid game. Okay, that's one of the big things I would ask for. Where are the Players Association? I would ask for expanded rosters anyway. I'd want five more guys on the. I want to take the game roster from 48/49 with the extra quarterback to 53/54. So I want five more players on the game day roster. I want five more players on the active roster from 53 now to 58, and I want five more players on the practice squad roster. Because what that would do for me in getting five more players per team, think about it, that'd be another 160 players in the league paying dues to you, so you'd make more money in that regard. But it would also give these teams an opportunity to have some more active players participating on a weekly basis here in terms of getting them to be able to step up in case of injury. So I think that's another thing I would ask for. Were I the NFLPA? Okay. Now, the NFLPA has been very successful in limiting contact to practice. There used to be 2 days. There were 17 practices. They were going hard at each other, knocking heads all the time. Now they've got it down to, okay, there's only a few padded practices. There are no two-a-days anymore. You can practice in the morning. We're trying to protect our players. They've done a very good job of protecting their players. And so as a result, I think what the NFLPA needs to do now is protect their players from this preseason. They've got to really kind of get rid of it. And they got to kind of force the getting rid of it, even if the force of getting rid of it means you're going to play 45 guys who are not going to really pretty much make the roster. Nobody on the two deep is playing in the preseason, unless a team decides they want to and take that risk, okay? But I don't blame anybody for not playing nobody. If you're not going to play the number one quarterback, the pick, you know, you're not going to play. Drake May played for the Patriots a couple of snaps. I'm not sure anymore that it's worth even putting him out there for that. Man. And that's not just me overreacting to what's happened to the Falcons down in Miami. I've had this general belief, again, for a long time. And now that I'm seeing what's happening here, what's it going to take? Caleb Williams plays tonight for the Bears, and in the third play against the Bills, he gets injured out for the year? Is that what's going to happen? I don't wish that on him. I really don't. I don't want that to happen. But is it going to have to be something like that? Because we don't see the starting quarterbacks anymore, because ain't nobody going to risk that, except for the fact that Caleb Williams happens to be your starting quarterback. And if he goes down, the Bears season is shot. 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you. What do you think of the Falcons? Give me your impression of what you saw last night in the game against Miami on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.